This is Rangina Hamidi. She was born in Kandahar, Afghanistan.
Kandahar has always been a very conservative tribal region of the country as a whole, populated by Pashtun men.
In 1981, when Rangina was 3 years old, her family fled the country.
The situation on the ground was too difficult to keep alive. My family was forced out.
Over 2 million lives had already been lost during the Russian invasion, so Rangina's parents took her and her four sisters first to Pakistan and then to America, where she and her siblings attended school and lived a relatively peaceful life. And like so many displaced refugees, their parents regaled stories of home.
I grew up hearing stories of a beautiful country, of a beautiful people that was devastated by continuous war.
After September 11th, 2001, Rangina boarded a plane to Afghanistan.
There was just this will to go back and serve the people that I left behind.
Most aid workers at that time were going to Kabul.
And not too many people were going to the place that sounded very dangerous and very rough, which was Kandahar.
After all, Kandahar had been the de facto capital of the Taliban regime just months before, but for Rangina, it was the only choice. She was 27 years old at the time and wanted to help.
All I knew is that I wanted to help women, but I didn't know in what capacity I was going to do that.
For the first few years, she worked for various nonprofits, gaining experience on the ground and learning the ins and outs of international aid organizations.
There was just a lot of bureaucracy. And
she was troubled by the lack of a long-term vision for her people. Because all around her, she saw this generation of young widows.
Wars had left many widows.
She saw that they'd become dependent on all these NGOs, and it disturbed her.
And I saw my country and my people had become almost beggars in the mental state. You know, when people beg, it takes their dignity down. People were constantly spoon-fed by the international community. It just didn't feel right.
And so Rangina felt that she had to start a business so these women could really stand up on their own two feet. She named it Kandahar Treasures. And inside the treasure chest were scarves and shawls covered with this kind of ancient secret art form passed down for centuries from women to women.
The art is passed on by mothers to daughters or grandmothers to granddaughters or aunts to nieces.
It's called hamak.
Hamak is a very fine version of needlework that is done by counting the threads on the weave of a fabric.
And so she took this artwork that her grandmother had learned from her great-grandmother and took it inside women's homes, since culturally it's not very accepted for women to be seen working in the region.
And kind of secretly, we wouldn't be shaming men to allow their women to come outside of home.
And over time, things took off.
And we've been blessed. The women themselves have taken ownership and pride. That's development.
These days, Kandahar Treasures is the first private women's enterprise registered and operative in the region, employing more than 350 women full-time, which, by extension, supports over 3,000 folks. And so for the first time, you have women who are really leading families.
Now that they have money in their hand, women are sought after by their menfolk as advisors. That social shift has been a huge shift.
And part of this story is that Rangina did not only inspire success amongst the women of her origin country, but through her relentless efforts, she also inspired her dad. 4 years into Rangina's life over in Afghanistan, her father came to live there as well.
He would proudly tell citizens that his daughter encouraged him to come.
He went into politics believing that he could create systemic change from within.
And as mayor of Kandahar City, he was quite successful.
Wanting to challenge the current system, her dad was proud to say he never took bribes and was dedicated to developing public services for the city by implementing taxes. And he didn't have much tolerance for the corruption.
His harsh treatment against warlords and drug lords created a lot of enemies for him. On July 27th, 2011, my father was snatched away from us.
Rangina was there when her father was assassinated in front of her, and it was such a blow, so devastating, that after all of her years of successes and triumphs, she was ready to close up shop for good. But it was a combination of her father's spirit and the women of Kandahar Treasures that pushed her forward.
He always used to say that we're born to die and death is part of life. And he said that he believed so much in his work and in his cause that he was willing to die for it.
Less than 2 weeks after her father's death, several women from the treasure trove came to pay their respects.
They said, "Rangina, please don't leave us behind. Please don't shut down Kandahar Treasure because this is our livelihood." And I said, "They're right."
And so many people were depending on the income from this folk art that, in her grief, Rangina started a whole nother round of training with the women.
Instilling in them the leadership quality that they already had to be able to lead this themselves.
When she felt like everything was really in place, she was able to finally leave the country.
And when I left, of course, with a lot of emotion in my heart, I knew that they're able to do it. They're running the show. They're running the business. And as a daughter of Afghanistan, as a sister to the thousands of women that I'm working with, I only see it as an honorable duty to help.
With all the trials and tribulations and imperfections of life,
the women of Kandahar do produce perfection in the middle of a war, in the middle of the chaos and violent region that they live in.
Rangina will be in Santa Fe this weekend at the International Folk Market with her mother, representing the hammock art and the women of Kandahar Treasures. For KUNM, I'm Rita Daniels.